you have to go back to the old system of leaving this in here, because ever since we've changed it, almost every time I give a Parsha class, I have problems with the camera. Mm-hmm. So when I take care of it, it never had a problem. So we'll just leave everything here, and every time we finish, I'll redo the, go back to when the chip gives in.
It shuts off after an hour.
I know that. Oh, okay. No, every time it's either the batteries weren't good, the chip was full. Almost every Parsha class hasn't come out since we've changed this system. So we'll just leave everything here. I'll do the batteries. I'll take care of it, because it just, you'll tell me when the chip should get changed, and that's all, because it's just not working.
Chip, I don't know when the chip gets changed.
Well, you'll tell me when you started one. We'll just change it after a couple classes. That's it. Okay, we're continuing in the Bovavi commentary on the Mesillas Yesharim. We finished on the bottom of Ayin Resh Hey, but I'm going to skip a little bit now. We're going to start at the bottom of Resh Ayin Vav. That's where we're going to continue, Resh Ayin Vav. The words of the Mesillas Yesharim. Talking about why a person's goal is for the world to come and not over here. And therefore we said, Valkein nitnabo neshamazos, therefore a person is given this soul, ki loh roi lavod, because for it is worthy to serve, uba yuchal adam lekabel haschar b'mkom hazmano. And in that, a person is able to receive his reward in its place and in its time. Nizbar im kein, we can explain therefore, Shein tachlis ha'odim ha'guf el ha'neshama ha'gedosha she'el yona l'malam min ha'malachim. We've explained in great detail that the purpose of a person's body, okay, in tachlis ha'odim ha'guf, the only purpose of the person's, a bodily person, is because of the holy neshama that is so lofty, she'el yona l'malam min ha'malachim, that is more elevated than the angels. Ve'elam hazeh, and this world is only a means to the world to come. Shua tachas, which is the goal. Sham yuchal adam lekabel ha'schar b'mkom hazmano. There a person is able to receive his reward in his place and in his time. So the question now is, ma'al ha'schar lasid lovi? What is this reward that we're talking about in the world to come? What is this reward? This is what we're talking about. Resh ayin zayin. Gilu lana chazal, our rabbis reveal to us, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasos mechol atzadikim, in the future a person will make a circle for the righteous. For Yoshev b'neim gan Eden, Hashem will sit between them in Gan Eden. Kol echad ve'echad mara betzon, each one will point with his hand, and that is what Gan Eden is. Shenemar, it says, it's all Gemara, Tainus. The Pasuk says, Va'omer b'yom ahu, and he will say on that day, Hine Elokeinu Zeh, this is our God. Kivinu lo, we have been waiting for him. We've been yearning for him. V'yoshienu, and he will save us. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, this is the God we have been waiting for. Nagila v'nismacha b'shua, so we rejoice and we're happy with his salvation. So what do you see? It says two times, Zeh hinelo kinu zeh. This is the God. They're pointing, as it were, when they ever say zeh. This is the God. Okay. And they said, this is the one I've been waiting for. Marim be'es v'amrim zeh. They point with their finger and they say, this is the one. Ma'ayak doras ha'musek zeh. What does it mean, this concept of zeh? This one. I mean, the Gemara is being very precise, exactly what's going on up there. You're sitting around Hashem, that means everyone is equal distance from the center. And everyone's saying, this is the one we were looking for. This is the one we've been waiting for. So we're calling Hashem. Zeh, okay, this is our God. So what is this definition? Yudua halacha shnuya beperek elu metzias. We know there's a halacha that some of you have learned and some of you will learn in the second chapter of Elu Metzias. There is a concept Shalatalmid Chacham Machzirin Aveda B'Tvias Eino. That if someone is called a Talmud Chacham, if someone's a Torah scholar, so he has certain privileges when it comes to lost objects. And we would return something to Torah scholar with something called Tvias Ayin. Tvias Ayin literally means recognition of the eye. Kigon. Shemarim lo chamesh talitot. They show the Talmud Chacham five talitot, five talasim. Vishomas, and they ask him, Mashal, which one's yours? Now, none of them have a specific discerning mark. None of them have a bona fide siman that discriminates this from something else. Doesn't have his name written on it. It's not a different color talis. They're all the same. But there could be five talis, but they're all worn out a bit. And he points to this and says, Zeh, this is the one. Anima kiras talis hazu, vihi vadeshali. I recognize this talis, and it's certainly mine. Zeh tfias ayin shel Talmud Chacham. This is what is called tfias ayin, visual recognition that a Talmud Chacham can employ in order to collect a lost object of his. This is not given to most Jews. Most Jews are not allowed to do that. Most Jews have to either provide a siman, provide a distinguishing mark, or have witnesses that can testify that that's his. But just to get up and say, you know, I can tell it's mine. I can just tell it's mine. That is only reserved for a Talmud Chacham, which is what we would call, it represents the one that's impeccable in honesty. It's a special privilege that's given to a Talmud Chacham. A regular common Jew says, I know it's mine. He says, sorry, we can't trust you. So that's what a person says. He says, this is mine. It's visual recognition. So I'm going back to the Medrash, the Gemara, that says, Zeh Hashem kivinu lavoshienu. This is our God, the Yoshienu, and he brought salvation to us. Kavanas Adovar, the meaning means, Hine Ezeh Animakir. I recognize this God. I recognize him. In other words, if you're pointing to Hashem and say, this is it. This is the one I've been waiting for. This is what I've been yearning my whole life to finally get in touch with. So the simple question is, Mehechan Humakir. Where do you recognize God from? Since when can you point to God? When was the last time you saw him? When was the last time you recognized him? So there has to be some kind, one thing we would assume that if you're getting up into Gan Eden, you gotta be some kind of a Talmud Chacham, because that's a few of the questions on the final exam are kind of required to answer positively, to be some kind of a Talmud Chacham. Okay, so you're gonna be able to have recognition. But from where do you recognize God from? Now here's the critical point. If God forbid a person was not able to recognize the reality of Shem during his lifetime, he wouldn't be able to later say with certainty, this is the one. Who told him this is Hashem? Maybe it's somebody else, maybe it's an angel. After all, how would you know who and what Hashem is unless you've had some early recognition? He's going to explain this. Zemachmos, heyosa tzadik, shibi mechayov, hoysel hakor of a mitzvah Hashem Yisro. It can only be if, because when he was a tzadik in his lifetime, he had a recognition of the existence of Hashem. So shayach shiroira be'etzbav yom, it's possible for him to point with his hand and saying, Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, this is the God I was waiting for. Shekein hakora, ein hakavona hakoras haseichel. When we talk about recognition, it's a very important point he's saying, it's a very subtle point he's saying here. We talk about recognition. We don't mean merely intellectual recognition. Go shoda makish, shtayim vod shtayim shavar. Everybody knows intellectually that 2 + 2 = 4. So okay, so the guy says, I know there's Hashem. I know there's Hashem. So I know 2 + 2 = 4, but do you really recognize Hashem? That's a very different story. Hakor Kavona, what does it mean when it says Hakor recognition? Ani makir, I know him. B'gamor b'avasra huskar din yakir. Gemara in Bava Basra discusses a concept of someone who has, who can yakir, can recognize. Sha'av yachol ha'akir v'lomar, a father is able to recognize and say, in terms of questions regarding inheritance, etc., Zeh b'ni b'chori, this is my son who's the firstborn. As the pasuk says, ki yasa b'chor, yakir losalik yishnaim. Gemara says, if you have a firstborn, you have to give him a double portion. So what if the guy, you know, was hadn't seen his sons in many years, and after many, many years, he says, this is the firstborn. I know this is the firstborn. So we say that's acceptable, and we will go with that. So Zaynenu Hakora Sichlus greater. That's not just an intellectual understanding. Lumakris Mahusa Shadavar. He recognizes the essence of the thing. Kesha'adam Omer Sheishlo Makirim. Let's say a person says he has friends. People who know me. Inkavanasola Elishu Makir Soma Sichlo. It doesn't mean those who he intellectually knows about. Shreigam esatarkilima cheshbo nimaramakir. A person can recognize math equations, math problems too. Vafav kikain lo nitain la hagdir sa adam vesa cheshbon kishne makirim. You don't call a person and his math problems two friends, two people who know each other. Makirim zu hakdora shel yedidim. Makirim, when we talk about that, you know somebody, it means friends. Shneem shiyesh beneem hakarsin benefesh. Both of them have a recognition of the soul. Both of them know each other. They know each other deeply. When the author of the Chovas Avovas talks about the concept of Hakara, of recognizing, it's not so, I know that guy. Hakara pnimis perusha shadover mukar l'adam mitocho hu makar oso. A deeper understanding of this is a person knows the other person from the inside. I know what kind of person he is. I know what kind of behavior he does. I know what gets him upset. I know what gets him happy. I know what gift to buy him. I know the guy. I know the guy. I see him in shul. I know him. We've had discussions. We've talked about what our goals are in life. What are the things we like, the things we don't like. This means I know him. You hear the difference? It's not just, I know him as a fact. I know him on a deeper level, in a soulful way. Next page. Adam Hayodea She'esh Mechamames. Let's say a person knows that heat, fire produces heat. So Hakara, that is a recognition. Ki Hakara so b'chum ha'esh, eino bolo. Now how are you going to know that? Eino bolo rak mishum she'besechel isbirlo she'esh mechamames. Right? Well, you could say, well, the guy knows intellectually that heat, fire heats up. And Mishum Sha'amad Liyad, but that's not going to be enough. It's not going to come from that alone. And Mishum Sha'amad Liyad Eish Ve'er Gishachom. He stood next to the fire and felt its warmth. So now he really knows that fire warms things up. Could have accidentally put his hand on the stove grate, and he really knows. That fire warms things up. So it's not just intellectual knowledge. He knows the thing inside out. He knows what fire is. He's felt the warmth of the fire. So now he really knows it. So Kisha Talmud Shomed, he's giving many examples to make this point. Kisha Talmud Shomed Dvar Mirabos, so when a student hears the words of his Rebbe, who makaro some Kikachu Shomim Rabbo. He recognizes them because that's what he heard from his Rebbe. Ach ein la hakara asasem, but doesn't have an essential knowledge of them. You hear the teacher says it once. You can repeat over what he says, but do you understand what those words mean? Avo ba'omen b'deeper lacha sharav malamen es ha-talmud shizu tachlis ha-kara. Mikan ve'elach ha-talmud la-giya la-kara sa-dver mitocho. Once the Rebbe teaches the concept to the student now has to go in depth to really understand what those words mean. To really get the concept, I say, now I really understand what he's talking about. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo v'yashen. When they say, this is the Shem, this is the guy that we waited for. Va'atzva, va'miris, hazeh. When you point and say this, tirake de osam elu shehigiu lakaras Hashem kam v'lom hazeh. They can only come to those who recognize Hashem in this world. So how am I going to recognize Hashem in this world? Well, you could start by following his Torah. The way he intended you to follow the Torah. You know, that's what we talked about yesterday morning in the Parsha class. You have the Mitzvah Shemitah. There's all kinds of ways you can perform the Mitzvah Shemitah. There's all kinds of ways. We described three ways you can perform the Mitzvah Shemitah. And there'll be different levels of recognition of Hashem. And there could be some who don't recognize Hashem at all. I mean, the whole reason, only whole way you're going to understand God is learn His Torah, understand, you know, where God's coming from, and live in that reality. And that's when you come to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. You get to really know Hashem. So there's a Mitzvah Shemitah. So what does Hashem say? Every seventh year you have to let the land lay fallow. And the Torah says, and if you'll ask, what will we eat in the seventh year? For we have not harvested and planted in the seventh year. So Hashem says, I will send you my triple crown. All right. So now, what do you do? So you learned it. Okay, you learned it. Something very nice. You learned it. She learned it. Okay. Do you know Hashem now? Do you know Hashem now? No, I know Hashem tells me not to plant in the seventh year. And it's going to give me a triple crown. Okay. It also says, you will eat from the fruits that I give you. As it says in Pasuk Yitesh, it says, you'll eat from the fruits that I give you, and you will live securely in the land. And if you will ask, what will we eat in the seventh year? I'll give you a triple crown. So now, there's a person who can do this mitzvah in a way that he will get to know Hashem, or is a person who does this mitzvah in a way he will not get to know Hashem? What do you mean? Person figures, okay, why did Hashem give me this mitzvah? Why did Hashem give me this mitzvah? Well, he wants to prove that he's the one who owns the world. And as the Sefer Chinuch says, Hashem wants us to learn bitachon in Hashem, to trust Hashem. Now, I guess if you learn to trust somebody, that's a real good way of knowing that person. I say, you know, if you can trust that person, what if he makes you a promise, he keeps it. No matter what, you learn to trust that person. And if that happens often, now you know that being. You know them. So person says, you know, Hashem gave me a mitzvah, that I gotta let the land lay fallow in the seventh year. So how are you gonna know that God? How are you gonna know that God? You could do this mitzvah and not know that God. You could do this mitzvah and yes, know that God. Or you could know a different God than the God that we're talking about here. So, we talked about it at great length, but basically we said there's three kinds of Jews that surface in the fulfillment of this mitzvah. Right? So now, if we ask a person, okay, Hashem, let's say we just came to the land of Israel today. We just conquered the land. Okay, now we live in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Okay, it says now, today we're starting the 7-year cycle. So in 7 years, you're going to have to let the land lay fallow. Okay, so now, three kind of Jews. Right. Jew number one says, listen, Hashem says we got to let the land lay fallow in the seventh year. Fine. He says we should eat the fruits of the land, and live securely, live with bitachon. So fine. So now this year I will harvest. I will eat everything. I'll eat everything he gives me. And I'll do that for the next 6 years. And God willing, he'll give me a triple crop in the sixth year. And then I won't plant in the seventh. There'll be a problem. Now, and therefore I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I live with total calm because I know Hashem promises me and I'll take care of that. There's another Jew who says, well, I know Hashem said he's going to give me a triple crown. But you never know. Just never know. I mean, after all, maybe I will sin in the next 6 years. And maybe God will punish me and not give me a triple crown. What do you mean? You don't believe God? Of course I believe in God, but, you know, maybe I don't believe in myself. Yeah, but God wrote in the Torah, he's going to give you a triple crop. He wrote in the Torah, he's going to give you a triple crop. That's black and white, give you a triple crop. I know, but, you know, I'm just not comfortable putting all my trust in him. You know, I will. Are you going to plant in the seventh year? Chas v'shalom, I'm not going to plant in the seventh year. So you're not going to plant in the seventh year? So no, you're not. So what's your problem? Well, you know, We're going to start this year. Yeah, this year, when I harvest my 1,000 bushels of wheat, you know, just in case, you know, we'll leave about 150 bushels over. We'll save it. And I'll save for the next 6 years. So just in case I don't get a triple crop, you know, it's my hedge fund. And I'll hedge on my fund, and I will then be able to live securely. Right? It's two different approaches. Right? Two different approaches. The one guy says, Hashem wants me to live securely. And Hashem says, eat from the fruits of the land and live securely. Don't worry. So why should I worry? I'm going to enjoy what I have now. And every year, I'm going to trust Hashem. But what's going to happen in the seventh year? What do you mean? Hashem's going to be a triple crop. What do I got to worry about? It's going to be a triple crop. I believe in Hashem. The guy says, I believe in him a little bit. But really, I only can trust Hashem if I know I'm in charge. Then I can trust Hashem. Okay. So what happens in year number one? In year number one, the guy says to his kids, you know, he's serving supper. He says, you know, Abba, can I have a little bit more? I'm a little bit hungry. Sorry, we have to save a seventh of all our food because, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the seventh year. Yeah, but I'd like a little more. I'm hungry. Well, listen, you know, being a Jew is a very hard thing to do because, you know, we're not going to be able to plant the seventh year. Really? So what's Hashem telling us? He's telling us, you know, it's schwer zu sein a Yid. It's hard to be a Jew. It's worth it. You know, he did take us out of Egypt, but you got to suffer to be a Jew. And then the aniyim, the poor people come and say, Rabbi Yid, the kohen comes and says, Rabbi Yid, I need some truma. You know what the Gemara says? A nice donation is 2%. He says, I know, but you know, I've already cut back 15% of my crops because I have to save it. So according to the letter of the law, if I give you just a bucket, it's good enough. So I'm going to get by just giving you a bucket and not the 2%. And then the poor people say, Rabbi Yid, you got to give me 10%, 10% of all your money has to go to. Says, listen, I'm put away 15%. Times are tough. These mitzvahs are unbearable. So I'm going to have to cut back on my donations because I have to make, just in case. Right? So this is how it goes. But on the other house, the kid says, Abba, can I have some more? Can I have some more food? Yes, mein kind, take as much as you like. Hashem wants us to use it all up this year. The aniyim come, can we have tzedakah? Here, take your 10%. Hashem's blessed me. Take it all. Take the whole 10%. Mr. Kohen, take your 2%. This is how it goes for 6 years. Do you understand how these two different guys are getting to know God? One's getting to know God and one's getting to know himself. He's not getting to know God. One's getting to know the God who's all kind and all merciful, who loves you. The other one's saying, boy, he's a tough God to deal with. That ain't God. That ain't God. This is your own idea, your self-aggrandizement. All right, so then we come to year six. Now things get exciting. In year six, everybody's planting their crops. It's the beginning of the sixth year. Now, let's figure out what's going on in the mind of the truly devout Jew. The truly devout Jew says, well, I've done everything Hashem wanted me to do. I've eaten to satiation. I've done all the mitzvahs properly. I've really enjoyed my life. Now, Mirtz Hashem, you know, as he puts the seeds in the ground, he has a little sitter, has a tefillah. He says, Yehi Ratzon b'fanecha. Hashem, I davened to you. You promised me I'll get a triple crop. I have total bitachon in you. I've shown my bitachon. I haven't saved anything. And Hashem, with tears in my eyes, because I know that I'm totally dependent on you, I put these seeds in the ground, knowing that if I don't get a triple crop, I will die. But it was my pleasure to do your will. And I'm totally confident you will help me. He goes to bed every night during 6 years, falls asleep right away. Right? So the other Jew says, God, you know, Baruch Hashem, I've already got 83% of the food I need for next year. Baruch Hashem. If you give me a triple crop, it'll be a windfall, man. Boy, I'll give a lot of tzedakah. All the tzedakah I was going to give, I'm going to give. I'm going to go to the kohen and give him 14%. I'm going to give the aniyim. For all that money I'm going to get, I'm going to give like almost 87%. I'll give it to tzedakah. And in case you don't give, you know, God, I took care of myself anyway. And in case it's a regular crop, I'll be able to live again on 1/7. And that's how he plants his seeds. Oh, then there's a third Jew. So everything I'm saying is based on the Mephorsha. I'm sparing you all the Mephorsha. Third Jew, who's like the first one, but then, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, for 6 years they can talk the talk. But now when you know, we have to separate the men from the boys and the women from the girls, the guy starts really crying. He starts getting a panic attack. He says, I trusted you, Hashem, but now it's mamish coming down to the wire here. Hashem, if I don't get this triple crap, I'll go crazy. And he's getting all jittery. And he's getting a little, starting to bark at his kids because this is the moment of truth. And at the end of the day, he kind of has to be talking, but I don't know. And he's mamish, he's crying, he's bawling his eyes out. He says, Hashem, you've got to make this happen. If this doesn't happen, it's going to be the end of me. And his mamish, his blood pressure is rising. He's listening to Hashem, but he's scared to death. These are the three different Jews. Okay, so now they plant. It sits in the ground for a few months. It's starting to rain. Comes around Pesach time. Now you're going to see the crops are starting to come out of the ground. And guess what would happen? What would happen is like this. Now remember, God promised a triple crop, right? So, the fellow who had complete faith in Hashem, he looks at his crop in Pesach time, and the crop does not yield a triple crop. Does not yield a quantitative jump of three times. It does not. He looks Pesach time. He says, Hashem says it's going to be a triple crop. Doesn't appear to be a triple crop, but Hashem promised that there's going to be a triple crop. There's only one conclusion I can draw, is that God's understanding of a triple crop is much more profound than mine. And I'm going to go to sleep and enjoy my Pesach, and after Pesach I'll start harvesting and we'll see what's going to happen. The person who had been saving all the time, he too does not get a triple crop. And he says, see, it's a good thing I saved. Because if I wouldn't have saved, I'd be a dead man. You know what? You always got to take care of yourself. You always got to hedge your bets. You never know with this God. Okay? Then the guy who's with the panic attack, who mamish, if he ain't going to see a triple crop, Pesach time, he's mamish. He's 911. Comes Pesach time, the guy looks. He's got a triple crop! It's mamish, it's growing like crazy. It's crazy. It's like, he never saw such thing in the last 6 years, in his 5 years in his life. His mom is going like crazy. He's going, wow. You know, it's really right. Hashem did do it. Hashem does take care of those who trust him. It was scary at the end. Ooh, I was, you know, every day I was looking at the field. I was measuring. I was, you know, who's going to be. But, you know, Hashem, you're it, man. Okay. So now let's move on. So now it's after Pesach. It's time to start harvesting. Okay. Now we got coming to Shavuos. Harvest time. So the guy who trusted Hashem 100%, he harvests. Everything looks the same. He says, I'm going to put this all into the silo. You know, I have total trust in Hashem. Even though what my eyes are telling me, there's no triple crop. But Hashem promised a triple crop. It cannot be. If Hashem writes in the Torah, I will give you a triple crop. It cannot be that I'm not getting a triple crop. Now the skeptic who is watching is his neighbor. He says, so Schwartz, where's your triple crop? You see mine? I was smart. He says, I know, I can tell you one thing. If Hashem says there's a triple crop, there has to be a triple crop. You idiot. You see there's no triple crop. You must be a sinner too, like me maybe. And God didn't give you the triple crop. He says, it's not possible. I did everything Hashem asked me to do. He has to give me a triple crop. It's not shaykh. He says, but they don't have it. Just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's not a triple crop. What do you mean? Let's wait. It's exactly the same. It has to be. That's all. It can't be otherwise. You idiot. Okay, live in your dream world. And the other guy, who didn't have a lot of faith in Hashem at all, was saving. He says, Baruch Hashem, I'm glad I'm my own man. I didn't try. Fine. And the other guy, what about the guy who got the real triple crop? He says, boy, I'm going to have to hire three times the work. You know that silo that's sitting there? I got to build another two silos. You know what? I'm going to have to be working much early. I got to get much earlier in the morning to get all this triple crop harvested. I got to get up at 3 a.m. Last year I could get up at 6 a.m. I get up at 3 and I got to sleep way late and I got to make sure that right after Shabbos is over, I got to jump right out. You think I can even take off on a Saturday night? Huh, crazy. And Friday afternoon, I got to work mamish to the last minute because I got so much to harvest. It's crazy. If I don't harvest all, it's going to be thrown in the garbage and I need all that triple crop. While the real tzaddik, he says, you know, it's a regular year, so I can stop. I can come home shop Friday afternoon at noon. And much of Shabbos, I can take out Shabbos for a little. I can wait till Sunday morning. It's a regular year. It's a regular year. Okay, you with me? Okay, now you're getting to see how these three guys are knowing God differently? Okay, now finally comes, it's after Shavuos. It's after Sukkos. Now it's time to eat from the sixth crop in the seventh year. So let's look at our three friends again. The guy who was scrimping and saving says, okay, I'm not going to plant this year. I don't need to plant this year because I've got enough food. Well, again, it's going to be, we'll have to go like, 15% less because I got a regular crop. So I'll go with 15% less. And he continues living this year like he lived the other 6 years. You know, and he says, you know, I'll have enough. I'll have from the year six, and everything I saved up will be for the next year. So I'll make it, but always it'll be tight. It'll be very tight. And again, you know, right? The other guy with the real triple crop says, Baruch Hashem, I have nothing to worry about. I'll go to yeshiva now. I got a triple crop. I got lots of food. Ooh, it was a hard summer, man. I'm exhausted. I'm so exhausted from all that extra work I had this year. I think I need a good vacation. I think the Caribbean would be good. I need to really relax. I'm so tired. I worked my head off, man. I'm exhausted. I'm actually need a year to physically recuperate from all the exhaustion from this. But Baruch Hashem. Now the other guy's got a real problem. He does not have any extra food. He has to, should I plant? Because I'm going to run out of this year. The guy says, if Hashem told me it's a triple crop, I'm not worried at all. And comes the time to plant, where nobody's planting, but everybody else has the finances in place. He has no finances in place. He has 1 year of crop that he will eat in year six, and in year seven, he will starve. In year eight, he will starve. He says, this is what Hashem said. I'm going off the kol. That's it. I'm not tired. I'm going to sit and learn now for the year. Okay, now we start pouring the first bowl of Wheaties that came year six. Pours the bowl of Wheaties. Usually fills up a nice bowl. Takes 3-4 bites. He says, you know, that was really good. That was really good cereal, man. You know, I can't explain why, but I'm full. I am full. I can't eat so much. I'm mamish full. I'm satisfied. I'm not hungry at all. I used to have a bigger appetite. I don't know what happened to my appetite. It's much less. And every meal he realizes he doesn't have to eat so much. You know why? You know, in the cereals today, they put a lot of vitamins in the cereals because the cereals are really junk. You know, those sugar cereals? They have to put, you know, vitamin A, B, thiamine, niacin, because they're made of nothing. So he turns to his rabbi. He says, you know, rabbi, I got something interesting going on. For the last 3 weeks, I just eat about 3-4 bites and I'm mamish full. First he goes to his doctor, maybe. He says, doctor, is there something wrong with me? He says, no, I've noticed a lot of the religious people are telling me this. So then the doctor goes to the rabbi. I said, rabbi, what's going on? He says, don't you understand? Hashem promised you a triple crop. What are you talking about? Who said it was qualitatively triple? It was qualitatively triple. Because your oats and your wheat is filled with vitamin B. When you plant it, it was filled with vitamin B, bitachon. And the plants grew in a way that inside of them was a different wheat stalk than the other 5 years. Because it was planted with bitachon. And you don't have to worry, it's going to last all the way till the end of the year. And you're going to see, you only used up a third of your silo. Guy says, wow, see? I knew. I never doubted for a minute that Hashem was going to take care of me. He did it in the most beautiful way. while the other guy. So now the question is, who has it better off of the three guys? The guy who got the qualitative triple crop or the quantitative triple crop? The guy with the qualitative triple crop. Why? Because the spring and the summer was the same like any. He didn't have to work very hard. He didn't need a trip to the Caribbean. He didn't have to relax from the exhaustive. Imamish was exhausted. He's not exhausted at all. The other guy, and this guy was calm the whole time. The second guy was all pretty calm, but when it got tense, he got tense. But he kept it. Well, the third guy really has been miserable his whole life. Because he's never really enjoyed the fruits of his labor. But he's an Orthodox Jew. Right? So that's what the Torah says. The Torah says, you will eat the fruits of the land and you will live securely in the land. That's not a promise, that's a command. The Torah is saying, you have to eat all your food up in those 6 years. I don't want you to save. And if you'll ask, what will I have in the seventh year? That's for the guy, even if he ate everything up, but he's getting scared. Or it's the guy in the beginning says, what do you want? How can we do this? We got to plan in advance. You have to plan in advance your life. Hashem says, don't worry, it's going to be a triple crap. You don't have to worry about all this. Right? So now, you know, let's ask a question now. The very religious Jew, is he ever going to have a problem keeping the Shemitah? Never. It's mamish, the most beautiful thing in the world. Every 7 years he sees a miracle before his eyes. The other guy, let's go to the other extreme. The guy with a scrimp and save every year, is he going to forever keep Shemitah? As long as he is willing to live with less, he will. But all those children, every day, they heard the prophet, you know, it's hard to be a Jew. It's so hard to be a Jew. You know, this Judaism takes my money right out of my pocket. Sooner or later, what's going to happen? He's going to say, you know what? I think one year the Yetzer is going to get home. He's going to start planting in the Shemitah year. He's going to say, you know, God doesn't really give a triple crop. To some he does, to some he doesn't. There's no rhyme, no reason. You see, this guy got a triple crop. I don't know how Schwartz made it. I don't know. He must have been begging other people. I don't know. And eventually the guy is going to start planting in the Shemitah. He's going to say, I've had enough of giving up to fresh air. I don't get anything out of this religion. He'll start not keeping Shemitah. Well, the guy in the middle, he'll keep it, but there's always going to be ups and downs in his life. Okay, I'm just giving you, so what's the relevance, Rabbi? What are you talking about? We don't keep Shemitah. This mitzvah has no application in our life. Or does it? Or does it? You know, on a simple level, we have a mitzvah. We have to give 10% of our money to tzedakah. Plain and simple. You can't work on Shabbos. You're supposed to take in the Shabbos early. Take it out late. Right? So, you're supposed to daven in the minyan 3 times a day. Well, what if the tirdas of Parnassa are such that you find it very difficult? After all, you have to pay school tuition after this. He says, listen, I can't give 10% of the tzedakah. He says, why? So it goes to tuition committee. Tuition committee says, you've asked for a complete subsidy. I understand. You make $100,000. Why can't you give a tuition subsidy? Why do you need one? I got enough money. Says, you don't understand. Well, explain it to us. So, well, we see, you don't give any tzedakah. Wait a minute. We see over $15,000 in an RSP. What's this $15,000 RSP? What are you talking about? When I'm going to get old, what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat in the 65th year? Manochel b'shnas ha-shishim v'chamesh. When I'm 65, what am I going to have? Just Canada pension? So, they told me if I save every year $15,000 over 30, 40 years, I'll have like $3-4 million. I'll be able to live from that. He says, yeah, but the school has to pay for your kid this year. So I'm really sorry. I'm all tapped out. School says, yeah, that's not acceptable. He says, I guess I'll take my kid to public school. So what's going on? Says, what's going on is, well, we talk, God, you have to have an RSP. You have to have it in. What are you going to eat? I'm saying, God said, you have to give 10% money to tzedakah. God said, you have to teach your children Torah. And if it costs money, you have to spend money on it. That's what God said you have to do today. Well, God, you know, do you think God is going to let you starve to death when you're 65? You think God's going to tell you to teach your kid Torah, to give tzedakah, and he's going to let you starve? You know what? God, you know, I love you, but I don't trust you. I just don't trust you. If I do it, then I will make it for myself. I'll make it for myself. So don't you know what the Torah says about, test me when it comes to God. Listen, I'm not in the mood to test God, you know. That's for very religious people. I do what the Torah tells you. I don't know, you don't do what the Torah says. What are you talking about? I did. What are you talking about? You have to give 10%. They tell me that's not really biblical, it's rabbinical, and what does the rabbis know? Yeah, and school tuition, he learns enough from my house. You know, there's a Sunday school for $500 a year. I can take him to the Sunday school, and he'll know enough. He's going to grow up to be a grub amaretz. And then he'll get his bar mitzvah. It'll be enough. So, does the guy trust Hashem? Does the guy trust Hashem? The other guy says, listen, Hashem says, I have to give tzedakah. I have to send my kids to Jewish day school. So I won't save anyone. What's going to be when you say tzedakah? Hashem will take care of me. I'm doing what I can. I'm working as hard as I can. So Hashem will take care of me. And there's a third guy says, yeah, you know, but I better take on an extra job. Take on an extra job to be able to pay that tuition completely and also to save. So that other guy, we said, well, how come you couldn't come to davening? Oh, no, I had to take on an extra job because since I have to give tzedakah and I have to save, so I can't make it to Minyan. And I'm sorry, Rabbi, I can't go to your Talmud class either because I'm really busy because I'm giving the tzedakah and I have to save. You understand? This is not a theoretical. It happens all the time. Do you trust Hashem? Do you not trust Hashem? Right? And then, we'll go back to the first guy who says, I'm not giving. He says a very important yisod. This is Mamish Torah Misinai. You have to save up for a rainy day. If that is not the most goyish concept that ever existed on the planet. A goy who doesn't believe in God to take care of him, believe me, there's no chazal that say you save it for a rainy day. That's like a Benjamin Franklin line, one of these lines. Save it for a rainy day means you shouldn't use the money that God gave you now because you have to be responsible in case something bad happens. So now you will have hedged your bets on life. If God forbid you have a terrible sickness, you'll have the money to take care of it, a rainy day. If God forbid the roof caves in, you have for a rainy day. Now, again, we're not saying you should live your life irresponsibly, but if it means at the expense of not doing, living life for a rainy day to not send your kid to Jewish day school, then it's raining right now. Save life for a rainy day to not give tzedakah? Save rainy day to not buy lulav and esrog? Then what? It's a goyish tzar. It means don't live with God. Oh, so what happens? So what happens, you know, somehow, so when you're 65, so what happens to all these guys? Well, the guy who has his $4 million, so he never had a daven once to Hashem his whole life. Because he was taking care of himself. He didn't have to worry when he'd be 65 because he's got $4 million in the bank. And that's right. And we know nowadays that 80% of your assets, of everything you got, you spend in the last year or two of your life with all the extended medical care. So yes, and when the guy was 83 and he now was crippled on a walker and this and that, all these other things, and he spent all that money he saved for a rainy day to have that bitter end that he had. So I want to know, when he comes up to Shemayim, does he know where to point to God? Is this the God he's been looking for? He has no idea who this God is. Right? The other guy who did send his kid to Jesus, but Mamish had to work like a dog. And he didn't have time to go to Minyan. Does he really know the God? Is that the God he's been looking for? The other Jew says, listen, I never had a penny in the bank. And he was 65, you know, somehow they made it. Somehow they made it. How? You know, go ask. Hashem has wondrous ways. The guy had an uncle who passed away, left him $100,000. The secular uncle who was saving for a rainy day, right? He saved up. It was for him. You know, the second one who 90% of his money went down, 80% went down the tube in the last critical care illness, but he's still left for that crazy religious nephew. I'll save him a couple $100,000. And some episode, Tutsachanetzer. Somehow, you know, his house went up in value while the other guys didn't. He's able to sell his house and got into a condominium, had another, you know, $600,000 left. So somehow they made it. Or maybe even, Mamish, the most wild idea, the guy's kids said, you know, Abba Nemo, we made a special extra room. We'd like you to spend the rest of your days living in our house. We'll take care of all your expenses. You took care of us for 20 years, paid everything. We'll pay everything for you. What's ready to cost? Another piece of chicken in the pot? It's our pleasure. You're our parents. We love you. We made a special room in the den that you can come and go as you please, a separate in-law basement, and you don't worry about your expenses. Because now it's our time to work for you. Imagine when that person leaves that world. Every minute he said, Hashem, I know you're going to take care of me. Now he comes to that world. He's looking for that God. And he sees that God. He says, Hashem, kivino lo. Right? So that's why did the guy who saved not get the triple crop? Why did not get the triple crop? The answer is, Chazal says, if you put your trust in anyone other than Hashem, Hashem leaves you in the one you put your trust in. So if you say, I don't trust you, I'm saving up. So I don't have to give you trouble. Why should I waste a miracle on you? But then what's the greatest miracle? Is the greater miracle a triple crop that's quantitative or a triple crop that's qualitative? Qualitative is much a bigger miracle. So when this guy, for 65 years, he works, but he gave his money to tzedakah, he never kept a penny. And he said, you know, at the end of the day, you know what? His kid said, you'd like to live with us? No miracles. Nowadays, you think it's a miracle. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? These kids invited the parents to live with them for the rest of their lives? Whew. It's a qualitative miracle. The guy whose mom is afraid and this and that, and you have other people. More ways to play this story and spin out this story. I don't have time to go on. But Zeh Hashem Kivino Lo. Is this week's parsha? Zeh Hashem Kivino Lo. Which one of these three guys really knows Hashem? The tzaddik knows Hashem. And that's what Olam Haba will be. Finding that God that you learned your whole life. If you think God is a cruel God, you ain't going to find him up in that world. A God who doesn't care about Jews and wants you to work your head off, you ain't going to find that God up there. There is no such God that exists. Only ones you recognize in your life is the one you're going to know. Okay. I have a good one.